Ramsey TV.
Hopefully you'll be able to see some of the lightning in the background here. There's some right there. I love storms. I love it when God does things that nobody can try to control. People think they can control some of the things God does. They really can't, but it's nice to see obvious things that they can't control. There's another great piece of lightning back there. God's handiwork. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. I have not forgotten the 7,000-year plan of God. I had many more examples to bring you of the 6-1 ratio, the 6,000 years, 1,000 years, and I am going to do that. Woo, look at that lightning. Bring the action. But I want to do that on my computer in the studio. But right now I'm making a transition to a new microphone system. I'm very technically challenged. So thank you for your patience. In the meantime, there's going to be some real political shakings going on. And we need, soon and frequently. As John says in the unveiling of Jesus Christ, chapter 1. Verse 1, these things must occur swiftly. King James says quickly, but obviously they didn't happen very quickly after John wrote it. This is one of the ways preterists get tricked. They always start, a lot of people when they get things wrong, their error starts with a bad translation. Things which must happen quickly. No, it's swiftly. Swiftly, not quickly. There's evidence, you can look where else that word has been translated. Yes. Oh, that word was described when Peter and John ran to the tomb, and John ran more swiftly than Peter, because Peter was fat. John was lean and mean, but he ran more swiftly. It wasn't that he ran quickly. They were comparing the speed of the one apostle to the speed of the other apostle. John ran more swiftly. So when these things begin happening, they're going to happen swiftly. And you need to lay low and observe the political show. We are to take the attitude of our Lord before Pilate when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus was walking out God's plan for him, and it was the hour of his passion. It was the most difficult time in his life, duh. And he was very calm. As I said, the crisis of the passion was Gethsemane. Once the arrest happened, he just walked it out and he didn't put up any resistance. This is where the phrase comes, as a sheep led to slaughter. We do not have to face crucifixion. We have to face political revolution that is necessary to bring in the tribulation, which is the final 7 years of the present wicked eon. The advantage we have is after this, it is glory for us. It is glory. In fact, we are not even going to be here. We are situated very finely by God. We are most well situated as we hang on to the precipice of the end of eon 3, the end of millennium 6. The end of 6,000 years from Adam. And we need to be silent like the sheep before the shearers. Because the beautiful thing is, for the most part, it's not going to involve us. Of course, our Lord's political situation directly involved him. And even then, he was calm and he said, "If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be fighting, but my kingdom is not of this world. They'd be fighting to rescue me, but since my kingdom is not of this world, and they know that, they're at home, in their rooms, contemplating the meaning of these events." And this is what I recommend for us, to remain in your room. And again, I don't think I'm going to be able to help to watch it unfold. And it's going to be relatively good. The beast, needing to be a religious system and a white horse rider, the Antichrist being a white horse rider, we are looking for a leader to arise, and I believe you know who I believe this leader is, who is already on the scene, who will stop the evil, stop the corruption, bring prosperity and peace to the world, if only for a short period of time. And this we are going to enjoy watching. I'm not saying not to vote. Folks, I went 30 years without voting. I mean, it's okay if you don't vote. That's fine. In whatever country you live in. I went 30 years, but I didn't vote for the wrong reasons. The reasons I didn't vote was because it was a fatalistic reason. Well, God's in control of everything. My vote's not going to change anything. But see, that's fatalistic. That's a terrible reason not to vote. Here's a better reason. In order to vote responsibly, you have to be aware of the issues. In order to be aware of the issues, you have to pay attention to the issues. You have to weigh out different politicians' viewpoints, their positions, and this takes an occupation with the world that we are not called upon to engage in. Set your affection on things above, not those on the earth. And so you can watch the passing of events on the earth without having your affection set on those things. If you feel like you want to vote and you can vote without losing your peace, then vote. But we are not well engaged, I don't think, to be active participants. But again, as I've said, if you feel that you have a talent and a longing, a heart for steering things for government, if you want to run for your local school board or you want to run for mayor of your town or you want to run for the Congress in your state or the United States Congress, pray about it and do it if you feel like you want to do it. But at this stage of the game, I would stay out. I will confess something to you, is that I would not have participated in the revolution of 1776 when my country broke free from England. We didn't like the idea of having a king, and we especially did not like that king ruled us from across the Atlantic Ocean. We had our colonies here, and we were being imposed upon by a man thousands of miles away. And we did not have representation in that government. And the colonists, most of them didn't like it, but they had to be whipped into a frenzy. And one of the men who did that was Thomas Paine, who wrote a small pamphlet called Common Sense. And he helped to inspire the colonists to rebel against England. I would not have been one of those people to rebel. I like the English accent, you see. I would have liked it very kindly. I got no problem. Because I just lay low. It doesn't mean I'm passive. Well, I guess it would mean I'm politically passive, which I am. I will vote, but I will not fight. I eventually did vote because I felt strongly at that time that my voice needed to be heard. You can laugh. Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to vote again. I think we're going to have a real choice here in the United States, speaking relatively, of course. And God's way is going to happen. I'm no longer going to be a fatalist. But I know God's will is going to be done no matter what. Back to the American Revolution. If they had put it to a vote, I probably would have voted to secede from England, but I would not have picked up arms. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm not going to kill anybody for a political advantage. I'll just suffer, you know? I'll just get along with whatever comes down the pike. Having said that, am I glad that my forefathers fought and earned their freedom with blood for this country from England? I suppose so, yes. Who knows how it would have been? Nobody knows, but it happened. Am I glad that this country, the United States of America, joined England and France during World War II to defeat the Nazis of Germany? Yes, I'm very happy about that. Would I myself be willing to pick up arms and kill the enemy? No, I can't do it. I'm a pacifist that way. I just can't do it. I would have sucked also during the Civil War. I would have sucked. I would have just sat there. They would have put a gun in my hand. I would have just sat on a rock and written a poem about it. I would have encouraged my battle mates. Let me know what happens. Good luck. Let me know what happens when you come back. If you come back. When the call came to the bayonet, I would have gone to lunch. Definitely during the bayonets. I think I could have been forced to shoot someone from 200 yards with a ball musket. But to the bayonets, no. Which seems rather contradictory of those of you who know me, because I am all for the Second Amendment. I'm all for the right to bear arms. I think it is very, very good, because there are bad people. And if we get rid of guns, if we make them illegal, then only the criminals will have guns. I think one of the stupidest things in the world is a sign announcing a gun-free zone, such as at schools. Is it a coincidence then that we have school shootings? Didn't the shooter read the sign that this was a gun-free zone? Don't these people who plan mass murder of children, can't they read? It's a gun-free zone. My nation is run by idiots. Yours may be too. We can't change idiots into geniuses. It's not our part. I'm all for people arming themselves to defend against bad people, to protect their families. I personally cannot do it. I don't want to do it. People ask me, is it because you hate guns? No, it's because I hate loud noises. I really detest loud noises. If someone came to hurt any of my family, I would attack them with a pair of vice grips. Or a screwdriver, perhaps a hammer if I had one handy, or a table, a lamp. I would yell and scream. But I do fear, ladies and gentlemen, I fear this. And if this ever happens, I pray that I don't do what I think I might do. If I were ever accosted on the street, if I were told to buy even an armed or a knived. Well, yes, the hammer, the screwdriver, the vice grips, because it's quieter. I could probably stab an intruder, much as I would not like to do it because it would remind me of the bayonets of the Civil War. I think I could stab an intruder because it's quiet, see? It's quiet. I don't like the bang bang. Don't like it. Disturbing. I couldn't go to the shooting range to practice, even with the headphones. It's too loud. I don't like the report. I don't like the kickback. I don't like anything violent and sudden, or sudden and violent. I'm not into it. So I could do something silently to someone. But I think that if I were accosted in the street by a criminal type, and the criminal told me to give them my money, even at knife point, even at gunpoint, if they were close by, I have this terrible feeling. See, I would be so offended by that. Like, this is my money. Go get a job. Get your own money. No, you can't have my money. I wouldn't say that. But I fear that I would do a very stupid thing. That I would reach for my wallet. And then as I'm coming forward, I would, with lightning speed, at the speed of sound, I would punch the criminal in the chin, surprising them just long enough to run like hell, which is one of my best defense mechanisms, running. I can outrun most people. In spite of my age, I can outrun most people, especially someone laden with heavy objects like guns. I could outrun them. So I'm afraid I might do that. I really hope I would have more sense if that time ever came. Pray that I would have more sense if that time came. But we are not to fight. Our preoccupation should be with Christ, and we have the... I think you can revel in the knowledge that God is operating all things after in accord with the counsel of His own will without being a fatalist. And I think that sitting it out, not participating at all, is not fatalism. It's not fatalism. Now, not voting because, well, God's going to decide who's in charge anyway, that's fatalism. But deciding not to engage, and this is my exhortation to all of you, do not engage. Just sit back. I made a video a little while ago. It's from Isaiah, I think. Hide in your rooms until the indignation is past. Hide in your rooms. We can talk about it. We can celebrate the victories of the Antichrist. I'm going to celebrate the victories of the Antichrist in putting away the corruption and the evil that we now see ourselves in. I am going to root and cheer for the Antichrist. And as I've told you many times, we have the best of both worlds. We have the world where we're going to see the white horse rider, we're going to see the white horse rider rid the world of much of its corruption, stop wars, bring back a good economy, free the people from tyranny, restore free speech, and it's going to look really great for a while, and we're going to celebrate that together. And then, should we be around when the White Horse Rider becomes the man of lawlessness, we will celebrate that as well. But we're not going to be here for that. But were we to be here for that, I would celebrate it still, because it is one more domino to fall in the great chain of events that will happen swiftly, that will bring an end to this current wicked eon and bring us the new beginning of the kingdom of God. But for us, the new beginning will be rising in the air to meet the dead in Christ, to join our Lord, and to then be seated at the right hand of God, and to be forever with the Lord.